I am going to pour a glass of wine.
See, this is my thing. Like, I know it's
Is
early,
that
but do I
okay?
go get a beer?
I'm going to go pour a glass of wine.
Okay, great. All right. BRB.
Sean's,
I'm ready.
as usual, several steps ahead.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and the fired accountant who bought his own bar, Sean Roney. This week, our very special guest and friend of the pod is with us, Allison Wisneski.
How you like me now?
And with us, as always, is our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
There was a series of advertisements about a group of guys who would call each other all the time, and they would bond over football and beer. And it was funny, but it was also really charming. And there was one key word. They'd always say wazab to each other. And we followed them. And this was through a number of months, maybe years. And, you know, I think the hardest part is you start to kind of get to know these characters, and then they just pull the plug. And I don't know why. I don't know why.
I have never heard that before.
I was going to make you guess what episode that was from.
We'll get to that. Every week we get
to guess.
Oh, you have a guess. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Is it from the pilot?
No.
Because that's
it.
When they do the what's up.
I know.
That's why I was guessing it.
That's why it's such a great joke, because it's a callback to the pilot of the show, because this happens in season four in local ad.
Wow.
It's from the super
extended
fan.
Cut.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But I love that, like, that's the only other time that joke is referenced.
We talk
is,
about
like, this full explanation of it 4 years later.
Wow. That ad meant a lot to Michael. He really took that one to heart.
Yeah. I think he saw who his ideal group of friends would be in this ad and got attached. You know?
He did. Well, every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. Our third host, Edwin, is still abroad, but he will be back on next week's episode. And he did
He's been demoted to fourth host after Allison now.
I think so. Edwin, if you're listening to this, you did it to yourself.
Unshun. You did it to yourself. Reshun. I go on vacations a lot, but never this long. Reshun. I miss you. I love you.
We miss you. We love you. This week on the podcast, we are doing a sort of part of our location-based series is The Bar. So this week we'll be talking about, I think we're going to call it, we just decided before this that we're going to call this The Office Walks Into a Bar. I think that's what Michael would have done.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
We're going to try and kind of cover every time the Scranton branch goes out to a bar.
The bar is a location for office episodes.
That's right. That's right.
Scenes.
We'll have to define this as we did for ourselves. Before we get into that, Alex, do we have any housekeeping to start off with?
No, I think outside of our normal plug for our Patreon, you know, patreon.com/Michael Scott, of which Allison is a member of the Tots, proud member of the Tots,
big time Tot.
Allison, let's hang out with you for a bit in a section we'll call barkeeping instead of housekeeping. Tell us about the big changes in Lady Justice.
I would love to.
By the way, Allison runs a brewery and bar called Lady Justice.
If this is
in
your
Denver,
first
Colorado.
Episode, right? Allison Wisneski, old friend of the pod. We actually went out to their brewery in Denver, Lady Justice, and did an event. What was that? 2022? 2021? Now oh I can't remember. I know.
I think it's 22. I want to say early 22.
Early 22 sounds right to me. Yeah. Then we barrel aged. And
yes.
Yeah. So it would be early 22.
We made a beer together called Ryan Started the Fire, Smoked Porter.
It was a rye. Get it? Rye. And, rye. You know?
Oh.
Hosted a trivia night, of which it sounds like it might be easier for those to happen. Tell us why. What's going on in Lady Justice Land?
What a journey. So for folks who don't know, Lady Justice Brewing is one of the only woman-owned, queer-owned, brewer-owned breweries in the world. And owned by my wife and I, Betsy, and co-founded by Kate and Jen. Kate is also a friend of the pod, fellow tot, sweet angel. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we opened up our 45-person capacity brewery 2 days before COVID hit in 2020. Prior to that, we were a membership-only brewery, and we're mission-based, so profits over cost of the sale of beer go to promote the status of women, girls, and non-binary people in the state of Colorado through grants. And we were able to open up that tap room hilariously right 2 days before COVID. And thanks to truly like support of this podcast and different folks who care really deeply about the nonprofits we partner with and people who just like good damn beer, we are moving on up in the world. We have just purchased and moved into a brewery 5 times the space of our former. So we are moving from, it's nuts, shocking. So we're moving from Aurora to Englewood, which is South Denver area, near the University of Denver for folks who might have a map of Denver in their heart and soul. So very large patio, beautiful inside space. And we are moving on up and over. So we are currently literally painting the inside and outside right now. I'm thrilled to take a day off of painting inside. What a treat for my body. I've been doing that all weekend.
Did you have a picture of that you could send us? We can watch it later, but or I can look at it later on. But I would like to see what this.
Yeah, I
got loads. We just finished the outside painting, so I'll send that one over. And then here's a few of what we painted inside. I'll send a video for y'all too. You don't have to watch that one. Our assistant brewer Meg is singing in it, and it's delightful. They have a beautiful singing voice, so you can enjoy that treat. Delightful. And so we will be open to the public March 20th. Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah,
so, I usually don't enjoy the theater, but this is delightful.
That's exactly it. That's me to everything every day.
Look at this.
We are.
Oh, boy. Beautiful. This is so big. That is awesome.
So big. Yeah. So we're very much looking forward to hosting some office trivia, hopefully with our MSPC pals, before some babies come. That would be sick.
Am I seeing acoustic foam on the ceiling? Am I seeing some sound dampening? Acoustic, is that what I'm
seeing? You are seeing sound dampening on the ceiling and the walls because live music happens here.
This is
for other folks who might know the Denver area, we are directly behind the Gothic Theater. So it's a really cool spot. I saw Lizzo there pre her fame in 20.
Heard of her?
16, 17. And it was a 16 plus show, which was a trip. But
16 plus, nice.
Yeah. Lots of youth on the floor. And I was like, that's not a place for me, but I'll enjoy her from the sky. But cool. Yeah, we're really stoked. So live music. Huge patio, so please come check us out if you want to drink great beer for a better world. We love and support that, and as always, mentioning that you are a Michael Scott Podcast Company listener, it's gonna get you a little something, a little special treat, you know, wink, little nudge.
Wow. I'm so curious to find out what that is.
You'll find out when you come visit.
Cool.
And we will. We shall.
Not a party if you don't do something that scares you.
That's so exciting. We're so excited to come out and see the new space. It was just so much fun the last time we were there. You guys run such a cool brewery and kind of community-based bar. It's really, really exciting, and you guys totally deserve to keep growing and growing. So I'm so, so happy to hear that.
Yeah, we're thrilled. Statistically, craft beer is like in a deep decline, and we're just like, we can't believe we're moving up. But for those curious about the statistics, women, non-binary people, and people of color are the beer drinkers of the future. So if you are in that category, please come drink our beer and everyone else's, you know? Hell yeah. Let's keep craft beer alive. Community. Yahoo! Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's
kind of a medium year for women's soccer. No,
showing women's sports. Thank you for that perfect call out. What a perfect lead. That's the last piece. So
don't know. We're not super care.
That's me talking about sports. How did you know? You're playing the perfect drops. I'm not a big, I call myself not a sports gay. I am a gay man stuck in a lesbian's body. And this gay man prefers nail art and just the finer things in life. So
I'm with you.
That said, yeah, thank you so much. I'm stoked to say that we will be showing a lot of women's sports. So PWHL, NCAA, women's bracket, National Women's Soccer League. We plan to show as many of these games as possible. The former brewery that was in the space was a Buffalo Bills bar, and they had loads of televisions. And so we thought, well, how can we use this in a way that makes sense for us? So if you are into women's sports, please come check us out. If you hear this before March 20th, if you want to join us, the WNBA Club of Denver will be hosting our bracket filling party on the 20th. And if you've never filled out a bracket, they will walk you through it, focused on inclusion for people who don't know. I pick all of my brackets based on who has the largest smile in their professional photos. Aww. So that's what I will be doing.
Love it.
If you can believe it, I don't do well in brackets and I don't do well in fantasy football based on my smile rule, but I feel good about the energy. You feel that energy?
Thought about it. I'm in.
Perfect. We got sports games. That's gonna be me.
Sports games.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So come on by, or you know, don't. I don't know. You do you. But we love you either way.
And just one more time, when are you guys? You guys are open to the public March 20th.
Starting at 3 p.m.
Okay. Awesome.
Be there. We have a very large opening party, April 6th and 7th. That will be live music, food trucks, probably some drag performances. It should be very lit. So if you can't make it the 20th, try and be there that weekend.
So exciting. Well, congratulations to you and Betsy and Kate. That's so cool.
Big time.
Well, guys, let's get into today's episode, The Office Walks Into a Bar. Now, this is typically where I'll ask Edwin, why are we talking about this week? I'll just go ahead and say we came up with this idea with Allison, of course, because they are opening a new brewery, a new bar. And the last time we had you on the show, too, we discussed drinking on The Office in general.
We did.
As we sampled all of your guys' beers, which was a very, very fun episode. But
now I'm drinking red wine. Look at me.
Honestly, what a classy. I'm drinking the last of our winter warmer called Beer Hug. It's very tasty, and the label's a cute little sweater.
Oh, that's a lovely can. Oh,
that's
horrible. Shout out to Chandel. She's our label artist. She's a baddie.
And this is kind of a part of our location series, right? We've done an episode on the conference room. We've done an episode on the parking lot.
The warehouse.
We have some big ones still to come. We've never done the bullpen.
The Democratic National Convention. Men's bathrooms. Where, Oscar?
I think the bar...
We did the annex? Can we name all the ones we've done?
Yeah. What are the ones we've done?
The warehouse, the parking lot. Edwin's screaming at us right now, I'm sure, from wherever he is. We haven't done the bullpen. We want to do the bullpen. We've done
Michael's office, I think, would be one.
The break room.
The elevator.
Do the kitchen? I have no idea if we did the kitchen.
I don't think so.
I think, in fact, you did the break room and sometimes would accidentally call out things that happen in the kitchen and then be like, nope, that was the kitchen.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
That doesn't sound like it.
Let me call out how you fucked up.
we had an agreement. Didn't call us out.
But I think, like, the bar, right, is kind of almost a space that does exist for any office job. You know, it's that it's usually within close proximity of the bar. And now I think where my mind went first for this idea was, of course, Poor Richards. Yes. But I think that, you know, we're going to kind of cover all the times that the members of the Scranton branch find themselves, you know, sipping libations in a comfortable off-campus place.
Yes, indeed.
A non-office bar.
If I may use one of my favorite verbs in the English language, imbibing.
Ah,
that's a good one.
The office will go imbibe. if I might. So Edwin, who's not obviously on the show with us, he might have gotten back today or tomorrow when we're recording this. So we can feel him coming back. But he did send us a couple notes that I think might be important to sort of frame a little bit of this.
Oh yes.
Maybe even read what he said here. The bar is a setting for a lot of great office moments, happy hour episode, the party during St. Patrick's Day, Pam and Meredith singing karaoke. It can be a place for the characters to just get together after work, like the group that goes to Poor Richards and plays Up Jenkins, or it's a place to go after things don't go well, like Ryan and Dwight drinking together in initiation, or Devin inviting people to get a drink after Michael fires him. The bar is also a place where they go to watch the documentary once it airs. These moments can feel authentic to viewers who go out for drinks with their colleagues. Having a drink with your coworkers can be a fun way to get to know them better. The episodes with the scene in the bar allow us to get to know our favorite characters better as well. So it indeed a place where not only thank you, Edwin, by the way, for the note.
Beautiful. Perfect note. Classic,
well said. Classic. But I like that it sort of does highlight too that the office going to the bar is a time when the boundaries of these characters mesh with the public. And we see little interactions with strangers, also good or bad, people yelling at Michael to shut up, or Michael dating someone, dating someone he meets at the bar. So it does all these times when sort of the cracks in the walls of the show, things leak through and the characters infect the public around them.
Yes.
That was
yes.
a really gross way to say they talk to strangers. Just an overly verbose, terrible way to say that.
Infect the public.
Thank you, Edwin, for that.
Yes, thank you, Edwin. Yeah, I think, and I think too, it's worth defining. Yes, the they're not the work events or things like that don't really count here. Alex asked about setting up the bar in the conference room. No. That's not
look
what
at me. No.
You know what we're talking about. It's whenever there's a moment of like, you know, let's go to the bar. What do you say we go to the bar? There's a vibe that accompanies this location in order to clearly define it.
It doesn't feel work sponsored, right? And we probably are going to talk about a few things that are, but in general, attitudes change. And if you think about how you function with your colleagues going from office to bar, you're probably going to talk a little bit more about personal things versus how Kelly and Stanley say, like, can we talk about things that aren't paper, right? Like, what can we talk about that isn't work? Yeah.
Right.
There's kind of a feeling like you're allowed to do that too. Because in the office, sometimes it's sort of like enough chit chat, like, let's get back to what we're doing. And if I think that flip is, or that switch is flipped as soon as you go to a bar when you're like, so tell me about who you are not in the other building we hang out in. Like that's where this happens.
I think like a good place to start is kind of where it all starts, right? The first time we ever see any office members go out to the bar or a bar is Chili's in season 2. We see it in the Dundies and we see it in the Client. But I think that like this is a good place to start because it's like, yes, this starts as like a work sponsored event, but things dissolve. Like, you know, as soon as Pam, as soon as you get Pam finishing people's drinks or having her second drink, right, which is when the ice melts, or you've got strangers like yelling. Michael's all of a sudden like yelling at, back and forth with strangers. This is when it becomes the bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Changes drastically. I will say though, even like the client, Michael enters that space immediately ready to be in a different place, right? He's coming in and he's like, oh yeah, what is that line that he says? Chili's is the new boardroom.
Yeah, right?
So like he's coming in hot with that energy, and then he's like, back ribs, right? Like he's ready to have a good silly time with the plans of how he knows he's going to close his deal, right? He can turn that shit off, joke around with Christian, make what needs to happen, and then hook up with his boss.
Totally.
I mean, yeah. That's one of the great nights out at a bar we've ever seen in any movie or TV.
I think there is something. I think it's really important there that it's like Jan's mentality is this is a business meeting. And Michael's mentality is we're at the bar. Like we're going to be joking. We're ordering a Bloomin' Onion and
we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good night out instead of just doing more business.
You slit your wrist. You said, "World, this is my blood. It's red like yours. So love me." That's a
it's a perfect line. It's very funny. It's one that I've tried to use out of context. It does not land if people do not know
world,
it.
It is a little hard blood. It's red, just like yours. So love me.
That like the best part of that is Jan's face is horrified as he's saying it. I feel like she might be sipping her drink, just like, what the hell is this? But like, and Michael's just like listening, nodding, yes, deep agreement, right? And I feel like kind of gets there, except the difference there is that Michael is performing, right? He's full performance mode. Now I know how Bob Hope felt, right? Like he is locked in, and there goes Dwight early with the cue and goes running off. Like he's on a set schedule while his colleagues, like while his team, very much not.
Yeah,
that's true. That's very true. And I think, you know, we do get a mention of another bar in the Dundies, which is really, I think, if we're talking about the bar, this is really the bar. And it's Poor Richard's. Yes. And that's in the Dundies, Roy leaves Chili's to go to Poor Richard's. And we don't see, we never see it in season two, actually. Isn't that weird? I feel like we see, like,
we
but
don't
it's,
see Poor Richard's in season two.
About it, but we do not see it.
Devin invites them to Poor Richard's.
Right. Right.
In season two, but not a location. Yeah. Really?
In season two, like, there's an exclusivity to Poor Richard's, specifically excluding Michael.
do we ever see Michael in Poor Richard's? Oh, yeah. St. Patrick's
yes,
Day.
Yes, we do.
And of course,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Scarn.
Local yeah. ad. Yeah, yeah. He finally makes it a few times.
He gets in there.
Poor Richard's is a real bar in Scranton, PA. And it is it's actually a bar in a bowling alley. So,
or like adjacent or next to it. Yeah.
Right, right. And it does kind of look the way it does in the show. But I'm
curious if it existed prior. So
right.
A fun fact about me is that maybe this isn't fun. Maybe this is very nerdy, but I don't know if you know this, that if you want to look at when something happened, you can find the page transparency of any Facebook business page by going to about and selecting page transparency. It legally has to show you if they run ads and if they're being served to you. But most importantly, shows you the creation date. This creation date is November 28th, 2009. We're deep into the office by this point.
Interesting.
But maybe they didn't have a Facebook page.
They might not have had a Facebook page. You know, they had a bar having a Facebook page. You'd be like, why? That would happen for about four or five years after Facebook came
out. You're not wrong.
Right. Well, it was not actually filmed at the real Poor Richard's, of course.
Of course.
Right.
But we do know that, you know, the show did their research and they tried to reference a lot of real businesses in Scranton. I do wonder if it was just like they heard the name Poor Richards on the list or whatever. And we're just like, that that's the perfect name for the bar that they go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also know that we know that Bob and Phyllis are big bowlers. And I'm just going to assume this is the bowling alley that they frequent.
There you go.
I bet you Bob Vance walks into Poor Richards and he just owns the place. I bet that
he
guy.
He literally gets the, hey!
I bet he's been going in there three nights a week for like 15 years. And Bob is just the mayor of that restaurant.
Let me buy a round. They all cheer.
Yeah.
Not wrong.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And then he fights someone in the parking lot who tried to hit on Phyllis.
1,000!
He's just walking in and yelling that.
I love bringing up that one time.
And their prices are good, which tells me their beer prices are good. So who wouldn't be messing around there?
Yeah.
Well, Poor Richards comes up time and again. By the way, do you think this is also the bowling alley where Ryan works?
Oh, wow.
I wish. Okay, no, because now... we see them pull up to a bowling alley.
That's a separate one. Okay. Mm. That's a separate one.
I was about to say, we're blowing the roof off.
I wish.
Note on this, too, is in email surveillance, of course, we find out that Kevin ranks Poor Richards as the 7th best bar. So it's pretty good, but it's not the best. There's better options, I guess. There's 6 better options, according to Kevin.
That's according
to Meredith. Remember all the bars she names when she's in the car and they're on their way to rehab? Must be new. Haven't heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think about when I worked on a TV show called The Librarians. We worked out in Clackamas, and like it was just a wasteland of like business warehouses. But there was the Wichita Pub that had a decent fried pickle. And, you know, we would
Spear
do that.
Spear or Chip? What are
Chip,
we talking?
Chip.
Sometimes Spears get a little soggy.
That's true.
Maybe
although
popular opinion.
Oh, man, though. Out on the Oregon coast, shout out to Fish Peddler. That place has they do like pickle fries. They're like tiny spears and they're like the size of
a
fry.
Delish.
Oh, my God. Anyways.
Say less.
About it. I'm in.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like you would never go there. It's like on the side of a highway at a strip mall. Like you would never go there if it weren't the proximity to your office. So that's probably why Poor Richards is, you know, even up
the people
for
that work at the bowling alley. The people that work at the bowling alley need a place to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Please. The people who drink need a place to bowl.
Synergy.
There is a deleted scene too. And this is probably in Cocktails, where the bartender knows all their names. So like we get, it kind of establishes that, you know, this is where they go and they drink. And then there's also a deleted scene too, where Toby mentions or Pam mentions all the times that they would go out on Tuesday nights after work.
That's right.
Very likely to Poor Richards. So this is the spot.
Mm-hmm. It's not the best bar, but it's their bar.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's the central location we would talk about in this episode. Do we have any, before we move on from Poor Richards, any favorite moments there?
I mean, so many. I mean, of course, we get Creed. Creed is recognized there by all the kids who he prints fake IDs for. In local ads.
Gives me very deep nausea as a bar owner that would ever be someone who's like greeted at the bar and everyone's like, oh, hey. What bartender wouldn't be like, why do you all know this old man, children?
Yeah.
Immediately, the tips training inside of me is like, something is off. Man, where he's from.
Something is definitely wrong. No.
Those IDs weren't supposed to be there.
Initiation ? Right, like we don't know if that's where they go when they swing the beer.
Temp, it doesn't temp, look. Temp. It doesn't feel like it. It looks like a different bar.
Yeah, unclear.
Yeah,
they do drink big ass mugs. You know, just slam that beer.
I always thought that's a beer in the rural area out by Dwight's farm. That's more of like just a German style, like where they got big steins of like German beer. That's where like I feel
like maybe that's where they go for Dwight's
yes
bachelor party. If you want your bride, buy us a drink.
That's right.
If you want your bride, buy us a drink. If you want your bride, buy us a drink.
Man, you had that one.
That is a big earworm for me. Very specific.
I mean, that was my backup drop, opening drop option. And then I decided to go with the 40-second long one.
We see poor Richards get destroyed by Roy and Kenny after Pam confesses to Roy that she and Jim kissed at casino night. Roy delivers an earworm for me. I'm listening. That's the problem. I'm listening. And then just starts throwing glass. Holy moly.
The way in which they do that so quickly. Imagine that being a physical response.
Oh my God.
It's not it for me. It's very... Also, like, again, I don't know... This is maybe very niche content, but it gives me deep nauseating anxiety. Like, beer glasses are expensive. Throwing things behind a bar is super expensive. I'm like, oh, so much money. I hope you have good insurance. Like, that's me yelling at poor Richards with a sad heart. Like, it also gives Brooklyn Nine-Nine feels of how they always go to the same bar and Amy throws something behind the bar and everything shatters. And he's like, out. Like, that's the correct answer. I just.
Yep.
Guys, yeah, I just got to say, like, I understand that you don't want to break glass at the bar. Bar glasses are expensive. Like, breaking the mirror has got to be expensive. I just, like, devil's advocate, Kenny doesn't have his jet skis anymore. So,
you're not wrong.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Roy's brother is going through something, and I feel
like... It's pretty... Like,
dude, I feel like that's actually a pretty reasonable, tepid response.
I mean, for real. Like, Kenny comes out and
just
Roy is like...
That's all they did, all right?
Kenny comes out and is like, did they call the cops? And he's like, nah, I paid them off. And like, jet ski money.
Jet
and Roy's
money.
Like, all of it? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to kill Jim Halpert.
Which also, it's like...
Yeah.
Calm down.
Time, my God.
But like that says something too about their relationship to poor Richards, that they didn't call the cops and they were just like, you're going to pay for all this and more. And
I also like I'm questioning how. Hard for me to imagine that someone would be like, this will cost you $8,715. Like, how would you know?
They just ring it up at the register right there. Like, let's see. That mirror is about 400. Two glasses, that's 36 each.
Let's see. Okay.
Who has that much cash on them? Like, what are the odds that that person has that cash on them? You're not like
the type of guy who carries jet ski money. Like,
you know, Kenny. You're right.
I think realistically, he's buying two jet skis, probably used. We could be talking $12,000. I don't think that's. I don't know. I would be like, I'm calling the cops. like I'm just gonna to be sure.
What I'm gonna do is ensure you never come back here. Thanks so much.
Also, Kenny makes this deal. But he's not the one who's like, whoa, whoa, Roy, stop. Like, he just starts picking up glasses and throwing them too.
Yeah, deeply, he has instantly. His brother's back.
Like, what was the point that Kenny stopped throwing glasses?
The way that you are being a Kenny supporter.
This is my Everest. This is my hottest take is Kenny and Roy were right.
Oh, God. I mean, for any of the Office Ladies listeners out there, in those early episodes, Jenna Fischer talks about how beyond their show Bibles, she also kept her own diary of like what she believed Pam would say, think, feel to like help keep her in character. And she talked a lot about the jet skis that like we're saving up. Like, no, we're not doing a big wedding because we bought. And she calls them wave runners at one point. Also, like we're taking the wave runners out. And for anyone who knows, jet skis and wave runners are two different things. So let me just start you there. As a girl who grew up on a Wisconsin lake, let me tell you what. But
I played a lot of Wave Runner 64 on the old N64 back in the day.
Less, baby.
I know a thing or two about Wave Runners.
I know how to catch rings in the sky. Yeah,
I can follow a dolphin, trust me.
That's a very specific That's a very niche joke. Of like 33 and 45, if you get what we're saying. I think it's interesting that was a big part and piece for Jenna Fischer acting in that scene. And I do think she plays it beautifully when, like, this is done. Hell yeah, we're done, right? Like, I think it plays out exactly how it feel, which, like, as a viewer, you're like, like, you should be taken aback, right? And yet they still continue to go to that bar. As if you wouldn't be like, you're with a group of people who demolished this space.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
It happens every week at Poor Richard's, so.
I mean, Phyllis and Bob in there, you're probably not wrong.
It happens It happens enough that they're just like, just pay us. Just get out of here. Just give us money and leave, please. It's easier. It's like. It's less of a headache. Just give us the money and bounce. Boy. But that, I guess, you know, I didn't think we'd go this far down the Kenny and Roy wormhole, but that is probably the most consequential. It's probably the most consequential scene that happens at a bar.
I mean, it's a big episode for Poor Richards. I mean, it is also, you know, when Oscar is like, let's all go to the bar, and like, you know, oh, go Oscar, go gay warehouse guy, and like, you know, it's all about sort of like these feelings of like, let's get out of the office. Let's go to, you know, a fun space. Like, let's bond a little bit. It's fun to see them all playing up Jenkins and bonding and stuff. And then you also kind of get to like Pam being like, I'm going to start sticking up for myself. Like, old Pammy's getting what she wants. And don't call me Pammy.
And also, I don't know if this is an annoyance for anyone else, but I need to call it out because it's my... I think I talked about this last time. The sound of an empty cup being set down is like my number one television annoyance. I think my number two is people ordering a beer, a light beer. Never disseminating a style is chaos to me. I just like walking up and saying like, I'll have a local beer. If you said that in the state of Colorado, they'd be like, everyone will. Right? Like, it makes me nuts.
Get out.
it feels very specific. Not like I'll have your happy hour special. Even that would make more sense than I'll have a beer. And Pam being like, no, this was a light beer, which to be fair is probably a Miller Lite.
Right. And how do you even see that? You know what I mean? Anyways, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's
a pet peeve, and I just needed to call it out to anyone else who notices this on shows. Please,
they could say like the lager, the pilsner.
Number one infraction for this on this entire show is drink related, but it's when nephew Luke brings the coffee orders and Daryl drinks his. It's the most obviously completely empty cup to go.
Thank you.
It's nails on a chalkboard when I watch that. You're just like, God, I can.
You hear him grab it.
Yes.
Pads of his fingers touching the cups it's empty.
Yes.
It's a cheese grater to my senses. It's just, it's awful.
I feel very seen and affirmed by this. Thank you. Yeah. It makes me nuts. Boy. Phew, glad we got that out of the way. We can move forward.
All right. Anything else about Poor Richard?
St. Patrick's Day party. Not actually a lot. Nothing really happens there. I think the memory of it is like, oh, a lot of that episode's at Poor Richard's, and it's like, there's like 40 seconds at the end.
Congo line of dry humping.
The Congo line, getting Packer dry humping Michael, and then Meredith hopping on the back, and Michael going, what's going on back there? That's where the episode cuts. It's a great cut. We get some shots of Todd Packer drinking earlier in the day. He's been there since 2. Good for him. And then I think the other big scene there at Poor Richard's is the local ad, and when they go there to watch local ad, and they go there to watch the documentary together.
These are
kind of different visits to the bar, when the bar is actually just more of a venue than a bar. It's a place they could just go and watch something together, and watching it, like, they could have just wheeled the TV in the conference room out, you know, for both of these, but because they're going out together, it's a much more celebratory feel. Plus the bartenders can ask Pam about, you know, motorcycles if she wants to ride one.
Like
you just have these little things that can happen there, and it affirms a lot of character when they always go out to the bar. So
And I think too, I think I'm getting mixed up. Like, isn't like go Oscar, go Gay Warehouse guy? That's Sid and Dexter's, right?
That's Sid and Dexter's.
Yeah. So that, and that's Happy Hour, which I think is like, you know, that you mentioned, like the beauty of ordinary things and the thrill of like going out to the bar. It's like that is perfectly shown when Andy tells Michael about going out to Happy Hour, and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, it is quitting time.
Michael, it's 2 o'clock. I will say, I don't want to ruin anything, but go Oscar, go Gay Warehouse guy is the Christmas party.
Darn it.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But yes, you're
someone
right.
Has to be the Edwin here, and I'm going to be the Edwin.
Thank you.
However,
you are murdering me.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to kill you for real. I think, but it's like, that's the kickoff, right? That's pre, because Pam's pregnant.
Right.
Christmas, right? But then.
Oh, yes, yes.
Am I right?
You're right.
No, you're right. Okay. God, I hope you're right.
All right. Am I right? Thank you very much.
They'll kill us if you're wrong.
But and then they go, and that's when they have their little interaction. Oh, let's shoot some hoops, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Let's take a. What do you say we take a quick break, and then we can talk about other bar scenes, other things, other drinking events on the show.
What say we do?
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
On my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome back to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, already in progress. We were...
You, me, bar, beers, buzzed, wings, shots, drunk, waitresses, hot.
I don't want all of it.
Okay. I don't want to. Before we move on from poor Richards, you know, I don't want to leave any stone unturned. There's of course the time in Crime Aid. I think that this is where they go. I don't know if they say specifically that it's poor Richards,
this is where they go.
When Daryl auctions off getting a drink with the warehouse right now, Jim buys it for $5, sold immediately.
And they go, and that's when Roy comes in.
That's right. And kind of an example of a time when it should be fun to leave the office in the middle of the day and go to the bar. But I don't know.
Instead you hear, I'm not going to get you.
Seems like it is. But at least, you know, Roy, okay, this is a visual earworm for me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just something I always notice and I'm slightly bothered by is the way that they shake hands. The way Roy puts his hand up to shake his, and it's just so weird, but I think about it every time they do it. But this is a different, you know, this is, again, Roy's allowed back in this bar. Really?
This is what I'm saying. He walks in and they're not like, $12,000 jet ski, guy, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, right. He's 86 forever.
There's
yeah.
so many other bars. You just can't go to this one.
Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, this is not an episode about Roy, but really, like, man, like, everybody needs to cut this guy out of their life after this, like, happens. Like, they go to his wedding? Like, no. Absolutely not. Like,
Pam tried goes to the attack wedding eating Pam. A banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just skip it. Send a gift.
Yeah, the world in which also, here comes a hot feminist take.
Uh-oh.
I'm a beer deep.
Whoa.
Here it comes.
Let me put on my Kenny and the Jet Skis hat. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Kenny and the Jet Skis. What he did at poor Richards on behalf of his anger towards Pam, I would say is centered in a form of like abusive behavior. So yeah. A, the fact that they let him back in, chaos. B, the fact that she went to his wedding, double chaos.
Yeah.
C, the fact that Jim was like, yes, let's please go there because we're burying the hatchet. Like,
no,
absolutely not. This is a toxic man. Get him out of your life. I don't care that he drives a nice car and has a pebble business.
I mean, he used to own, his brother used to own jet skis. Give him the credit.
He's an awful dude.
I'm going to stop.
Like, sucks. I mean, look, like people can redeem themselves, but you, but like, you don't have, like, they don't owe that him anything. Like, and really, if he's going to like be like a super nice, generous, like fun guy after that, great. But he's not, he's kind of just a prick all the way through the wedding and everything. It's just like,
I'll say this too. I think just inviting Pam and Jim to the wedding is very dark of weird. Like, I want you to see.
Yeah.
Like, it's I'm a happy weird now. Thing. Yeah, where it's like, again,
meet Laura.
If I'm Pam, I'm like,
the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'm glad I.
Yeah. If I'm Pam, it's like, yeah, I'm not going. I'm sending a gift. But if I'm Roy, it's like, if you've made any growth at all, you're not inviting Pam. You're being like, I'm not.
Because Pam's not a part of your life anymore if you've truly moved on. And what?
Well, she would be a complete, she would be a total symbol for you of like someone who. Who in Roy's mind is like, I'm no longer that guy, even though I think he probably still is.
Definitely.
He's, like, you would not associate with Pam and be like, I need to like not like I need to put that totally behind me if I'm ever gonna grow as a person, which
it was by not inviting a casual her, ex. Not.
Yes.
It was not a casual ex situation, which like sometimes you can be friends with your exes and sometimes this happens, and like shout out to all the queer people listening to this. This is like a joke in the queer community of like, yeah, like it doesn't matter. You like, you're like standing up in their wedding or you're like, you know, officiating the ceremony. And you're like, we used to date. Isn't that so silly? Like, that's a funny joke. But like, he threw bottles at a wall and had to pay your jet ski money, question mark, maybe. I know it was Kenny's jet skis, but like, I thought they all shared those jet skis. Let's be real.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? So anyway, that's some bullshit. Wedding shouldn't have happened. I get why it happened to move the plot point forward, I guess, for Jim and Pam. Of the, do you have any secrets, right? That was the point of that episode.
Right.
They could have done something different. Shenanigans.
Yeah, agreed.
We didn't even mention his DUI. Also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It just like.
And that he's off. And that they're keeping fish. They're keeping post-wedding fish for that long. And he's like, what do you want? Yeah. Oh, we got like weeks of it.
Let's talk about the real crime. Freezer burnt wedding fish.
Okay. All right.
Warming it up in an office microwave. All right.
I'm gonna pull an Edwin. I'm gonna get us back on track here. We're talking about
how would Edwin do it? He'd be like, the next bar that they go to.
I think that just about wraps up poor Richards. Everything that happens in poor Richards, I hope, my God. But there's some other bars that they go to. And Allison, I know when we were prepping for this, you mentioned the hotel bar, in specifically in Business Trip, which I think is a great first one to talk about. And there's a couple other examples of the hotel bar, but Business Trip season 5.
Well, there's multiple bars in Business Trip.
Hotel bars mentioned.
Correct. Because you could say hotel bars being that, also in Dwight's speech, also wherever, but the hotel bar is a certain type of location.
Alex, I just want to hear you say it in Concierge Marie's voice. Where would one find themselves on a cold night such as tonight? Huntsman.
Oh, the Huntsman's good.
The Huntsman.
Huntsman.
But I believe that we are not seeing Oscar at the Huntsman. We are seeing them, I believe, at the hotel bar. Does that seem true?
We see them at the Huntsman. That's where the Long Island iced teas are. Because Michael's talking to concierge. Michael's talking to Concierge Marie at the Huntsman, while Andy and Oscar are doing.
Are
their
also
thing.
There? They've all gone to the Huntsman. Okay. Thank you. I'm sure everyone is screaming.
Am I crazy here? Am I totally wrong?
Allison, I don't totally trust him.
Ooh,
listeners, this is just a peek at when Edwin leaves for too long. The center of gravity's off, and we're spinning.
Here we are. I mean, okay, in my mind,
someone who knows what they're talking about.
It's better for like to imagine for me.
It's the huntsman, according to Dunderpedia. It's the
just
huntsman.
Kidding.
I'm
I
so
was
sorry.
The person who knows what's going on because I had full confidence in what I said.
You knew it the whole time.
I reserve the right to eat hard boiled eggs at my desk.
Okay. So they go to the huntsman.
We're at the huntsman.
Yeah. But again,
bar in my heart.
Have you guys done many business trips where you do this kind of just like you got to find a place to drink and maybe sometimes it's just, you know, all you get is the hotel bar or maybe the maybe you find a good one
many times.
I've worked for years in different startups, and I recently worked at one that was international travel. So when we're talking hotel bars, we're talking like a Hard Rock in Mexico. Nice. And I will say the vibe is much more intense than the Huntsman, because you're next to a built-in nightclub in your hotel. So
yeah.
I mean, say less. But I've done a lot of hotel bars in very different ways. And I feel like Oscar and Andy's energy is spot on. If anybody else has experienced this, where you work with someone and you enjoy them and their company within the confines of your office, you go out with them and you're like, where have you been all of my life? How have we worked together for 2.5 years? And I didn't know that you were so funny, such a like stand-up dude, right? Like, I really
delightful.
Think that cute. It's already cute enough when they're on the plane. Another earworm for me. Harold Henderson's is very funny to me. That's something I reference a lot. But I really enjoy watching that happen because it feels super authentic to what happens on business trips.
So true.
It does.
That I feel like that is their interaction in particular is really great for talking about the bar because it is. It's all these like, you know, bonding experiences that couldn't ever happen in the office. You know, he sits
ever
5 feet away from me and we've never done this before. And here we are like laughing and like, right. I mean, Oscar's giggle like, oh my God, don't call her.
It's the straw drink after is really
good. Like, I mean, he gets to just be a little kid again or something. It's just, I mean, I think that's such a perfect example of what the bar is to the office.
And it's a great, it's a great device for getting like scenes between Andy and Oscar who normally would probably never otherwise really have any interactions. What's great is when you're on this kind of a business trip, and we've all been on them, you're all kind of prisoners of the trip in a way where it's like you have this weird freedom between like the things you're there to do on the business trip and then just going to bed. It's like you're not in your city. There's no one that you know around except the people you traveled with. So let's go to a bar and not be awkward. Like I'm not just going to sit in my hotel room. And they, like you said, they capture that energy really well between these two. And it's really nice to have that scene. It's like, I wish every pairing we've talked about on this show that is sort of unexpected or we don't see much, like, I would have loved something like this
more
with every character. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me an Aaron and Daryl, like, you know, part of a business trip. Give
Please.
Me whoever. Meredith would have been more fun to explore.
Well, just to jump around, you do get Pam and Meredith at the
eventually,
bar.
Eventually, yeah.
In sure Lice, which I don't even know if that's supposed to be Poor Richard's or what. I don't think it is because they're in a karaoke bar. But
I will say Poor Richard's website does call out karaoke.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Man, this sounds like a great place. At the bowling alley?
Last note on Andy and Oscar.
Say less.
At the Huntsman is, well, I like that this can happen too on a night out when you just drink more than you thought you would, or you're just like, wow, we're going to keep having drinks. Is this sort of escalating dares that lead up to basically Andy calling Angela. Because before that, he does the thing with, you know, like, how do you like them apples with the two guys, you know, the Long Island iced teas. And he's sort of, Andy keeps trying to one up himself because he's drunkenly suddenly has this courage that he,
yeah.
And then, you know, Oscar's there to light the match. So it's just a, it works for the show. It's like, would that confrontation between Andy and Angela ever happened if they were in Scranton? Probably not. Not in that way.
No.
So
right.
So, and, I love it so
much. It's a good location for the rules to not exist, which like, also the show really needs sometimes.
But also just that, like, Oscar is like with Andy, he's like, honestly, like, how do you date that woman? Like, he's like, yeah. he tried.
That's a sentence he would not have said.
Never.
Like, yeah, not at all.
Not even at an office party. Not even at, you know, Moroccan Christmas and stuff like that. You know, he has
not even
to
at
be,
Morocco Christmas.
They got to be in Canada at the hotel at the Huntsman for that to even.
You can relatively turn that on in your head when you've been in situations like this where you're like, I'm not going to talk about this with them in the office, but like you're two beers deep and you're like, hey, can we talk about how, and then you can say something like that, like,
sure,
your peer review was really shitty. Like, maybe that's something you get to say when you're two beers deep and you know your supervisor is too, right? Like, maybe that's a version of what you get to do. I don't know. I feel like it.
Yeah.
That's the part that I really like about The Office. We've been talking about this and in Edwin's point at the beginning of like, there are parts of this that feel really, they're in the office universe. And then there are parts that are like, this is a little bit different. You're a little bit outside of your spot. Like, what if.
Right. They're in the Scranton.
You're not at a work sponsored event.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy the spraying noise that you might have just heard me make. I am spraying my cat.
Allison is so
active. He is jazzed up. That is Basil.
He's all
you might
over
have
the
heard
place.
Him meowing.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that there is a version of things that can happen within these employees working together, but not at a work sponsored event. Even if, you know, maybe Dunder Mifflin was paying for those first two drinks. I would assume maybe they cover the whole bar tab because they got them shot glasses for a holiday gift, right? Congrats to you if that's your truth. But these things can't authentically happen. They don't even happen at office parties. Like, this is something that very uniquely had to happen offsite. I'm going to call her, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, there's a great amount of physical distance between you and your home, and you guys are, you know, now you can get honest.
I was gonna just really quick on that same note of like conversations that almost have to happen at a bar, not the office. We see this at the very end of the show with Kevin and Dwight, right? This is another, I think, very important bar scene. Comes right at the end of the show, right? And it's where it's one of Jim's Gutenprongs, which is like, I'm going to take him to a bar, right? Where, you know, if you want your bride, buy us a drink. And he goes to order the drinks and he's like, bartender. Oh, and he makes a sound. He sees Kevin and well, that's six wells. How's my math now, Dwight? Right. You get this like kind of. Like old west scene between the two of them, like we have a score to settle, right? So but again, then it cuts to them later in that scene where they're just drinking, talking about like Kevin just being like, you know, like, why'd you fire me? And it's kind of a sweet scene almost. And Dwight like, it wasn't personal, it was just you were bad at math and you were unorganized and terrible personal hygiene, and Kevin's like, that's all it was. And they have this really big hug.
Which is also like a tough read. Yes, Kevin.
But it made my heart break that for, what is it, a year, 6 months, like later, that it's like, oh my gosh, like Kevin this whole time has thought like Dwight fired him because he just hated him. And you're like, oh God. And it's the kind of thing that's like, that conversation didn't happen at the office, but because they're there and they're sort of like, going with the night, Dwight's had a few, it's like that relationship is mended. So it's like, these are the good types of conversations that could happen in a bar as opposed to the bad ones. See Roy and his brother Kenny. By the way, sorry, last thing on Pam and Roy thing, because this has become a sub story of this podcast.
This is us, this episode. The secret sub story.
Yeah. Pam never welcome at that Chili's again. For just getting a little too drunk.
Right.
Roy smashes up the place and he's back there a month later. Please. Just saying, this is like, I mean, if that doesn't spell out gender equality, then I don't know what does.
That
It's also privilege.
I would dare you to show me.
It's that's exactly why they drink at Poor Richard's and not at Chili's. They're chill.
Let's
there.
Go to a place where Pam can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Exactly.
The Lady Justice Brewing Company. I'm just kidding. We would be yeah. Check her out forever, but like our employees would be in trouble for overserving.
Let me ask this, Allison. If Jenna Fisher came into Lady Justice, blacked out, smashing the place up, how much of a rope are you giving her? How much slack does she
have? I mean, not much, because Jenna Fisher for sure has more money than me. Yeah. For sure has more money than me. Like,
oh, so
I own
you
a
let
bar
her go
and
all
I
the
have
way?
Student loans.
Yeah.
Yeah, wreck everything, honey.
Make sure the security cameras are on and just let her go wild.
Sometimes, kids, it pays to be gay.
Thank you. Jingling. You're not wrong. That is, yeah. I mean, we've had a lot worse done for a lot less.
And I are going to Europe.
In terms of vandalism, you know? Oh, so, God. Like, come on in, Jenna Fisher. Yep. Fine, I guess. What a wild concept that would be. Jenna Fisher walks in and trashes your bar.
What an honor that would be.
Yeah, if she punched a hole in that drywall, could you imagine the amount of visitors
you'd
get just to see it?
I would probably put a frame. Yeah, I'd put a frame
never
around
fix it.
It.
And say, and have it, the frame would say the beauty of ordinary things. And be like, this is
that's what Jenna Fisher. That's perfect.
Mixed media, Jenna Fisher.
2024
performance art.
Okay, other bars worth mentioning as we've kind of I think we've been going a good amount of time here, but I want to say I think the club is sort of worth mentioning. We get it in Night Out season 4 when Michael
shout out to that song
forever.
Hey, that's a bar. Michael's bar in convention, the convention.
Michael's hotel bar in the hotel.
Yes.
Gone wild.
sorry. As you were.
But yeah, I mean, this is like where I would think with the club or with Night Out in season 4, like, you know, Michael and Dwight show up to meet Ryan, and Ryan is ecstatic to see them, and they're just like, it's Michael and Dwight.
that line, if you have not dealt with a friend like that.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Like, yeah.
There's no way he's this excited to see us. He must not know who we are.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
I'll fix this situation where you're like, no, my friend's fucked up. Like, Michael and Dwight, I know who you guys are.
But, you know, you would never see Ryan react that way to seeing Michael and Dwight anywhere else other than, you know,
under the influence.
In New York, yeah.
At the club. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is also we've all, when we were much younger, I'm sure, we all had those nights out that kind of end with, like, two of you carrying one back in some way. Yeah. Or just getting them safely into a car, getting them home. You know, like in this case, they go to that home with him and all sleep in the same bed.
Tuck him in.
But
I mean, before they get out of the cab, when Dwight's just like, oh, he threw up everywhere. I'm so, oh, it's just everywhere. And then they leave the cab.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Not good.
That's not many people's truths anymore. You do that in an Uber or a Lyft, you're getting a 0-star rating, baby.
Yeah, you're never getting an Uber again.
You're ain't no nobody welcome you in this app ever again. As the Chili's manager might say, she's no longer welcome in this app.
They do also switch clubs. I am very appreciative of Michael trying to order chicken fingers, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody tries to get right. And,
yeah,
like, I don't have that, and he's like, I will have maraschino cherries, like, perfect. Yeah. It also does make me laugh that in when they're showing these clubs, it's very bright inside. That is my favorite part of just like a cool youthful club with what feels like daylight inside.
All the lights on. Yeah. Oh yeah. Love that.
Like, find me that club in New York, please. Would love
something
to see
else.
It.
Something else in Night Out that happens at the bar, which happens in all of the bars we've mentioned in some way, is looking for a mate. Like, this is something else that we don't see anyone in the office do at the office.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's not true with Michael and
Yeah.
Andy
and Jim
and
Dwight and Angela.
Nowhere near as aggressively.
And Gabe, Phyllis and Gabe.
Toby.
And Pete.
Well, yeah, I guess Gabe Toby, is as aggressively.
And Nelly and Robert California. But outside of them, this sort of like, you know, I mean, Michael, obviously, he loves going out because he's like, maybe we'll meet someone. Michael still thinks he's, you know, in his early 30s in his head and he's this eligible bachelor. So everywhere he goes,
he's
takes
calling his mom.
This is the reason people like don't like going out with Michael. It's just like, dude, you're kind of tough to be around sometimes.
Torpedoing the situation.
Torpedoing a lot of going on. But we see here Dwight, obviously, you know, using the was it women's volleyball team, basketball mm-hmm. team as basically their pass to get inside. Obviously at Benihana at the bar, we get obviously Michael always looking for a mate everywhere he goes. I'm trying to think of other, there's some, oh, Todd Packer in St. Patrick's Day, you know, Michael asks, how are the women? He says, fat and ugly. You might have a chance. Michael says, boy, that sounds so great. Michael genuinely is like, God, that sounds great. Tough scene for Todd Packer, as every scene with Todd Packer is not good. But these
the
are, you know,
villain.
Look, this is a part of going out. This is a part of that bars bring out of people, and the Office cast is no exception,
and it works on Dwight's behalf. Shout out to Dwight being like, I'm not gonna drink this, I don't know what's in it. A true
good
feminist
lesson.
Icon in that moment. Yeah. good for you, Dwight.
Good life,
Dwight
lesson.
Dwight knows how it works when he's out, man, and he's the only one who gets some action.
And
that
in case
night,
in case in case you're worried what he's talking about, we then later see Gabe commit a horrendous offense at the bar.
No, it's committed to Gabe.
No, Gabe is the one who sprays the stuff
in Todd Packer's stuff.
In Todd Packer's drink.
Just like this.
Right, sorry,
with the open
sorry.
Palm.
Yeah.
Aggressive open palming.
Yeah. So
and then but he does get
make
his
these cords
boot cut
and
jeans.
Anymore.
Yeah, his cords,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, of course. That is
that's
a much
that's
you know what that's like Kenny and his
dying.
Jet ski. That's a bigger deal than the crime that happens
it's,
right before.
Yeah. His boot cut cords getting thrown up on is about equally as bad as getting
Listen,
poisoned.
Property damage and drugging someone's drink. I think we should be talking about jet skis and corduroys. They don't make anymore. These are
please. These probably are, jet skis. They don't make anymore.
Right.
Vintage
jet skis. They don't make these.
We should also, if we're talking about the club, mention that Stanley was caught at the club
with
his mistress.
Gossip,
the
six, yes.
More
he
dimensions of the
good.
Characters being pulled out by bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, drama.
I mean, I think it's a good example of, you know, the bar can be dangerous. The club can be dangerous. You can get poisoned by Gabe. You can get
it's fine.
Your secrets can be revealed.
Maybe go out for a little dancing.
You know,
never not thinking
Florida,
about Florida State.
You know, there was a night in Florida that wasn't on the show that things got a little
you
dicey.
Know that every night in Florida for Stanley was that night.
Yeah.
Every night.
Mm-hmm. I guess mm-hmm. we actually get a hint of it when Jim's in the hotel room and when Stanley comes in, careful, Jim, it only gets easier, right?
Which is also a very tough line. If you're really looking at it, you're just like, damn, Stanley.
God. Like, no, Pam.
But Stanley, yeah. No,
your colleague. But fuck. Yeah.
It's fun to just see, like, the glimpse of the night out Stanley had, like, coming in to get the little bottles of booze out of their hotel bar. And just, like, what's he got going on back? What did he do out at night? Who did he bring home? Like, what's going on in Stanley's room?
Gosh.
Very good specific. Stuff. And that he's like, I can go to gym. He's in support of me having an affair.
Jim already, he's like everyone already knows.
Jim, yeah. Jim's had so many affairs. That's what Stanley thinks.
In Stanley's mind, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Stanley, you'll live forever.
Help us wrap up the bar locations.
Yeah, there are a couple of bars that we have to mention before finishing this episode. And I'm surprised and thrilled at how deep we've been able to go. But and there's probably going to be some left off the table. But
Happy Hour, season 6, episode 21. Sid and Dexter's, right? Obviously, obviously a Dave and Buster's knockoff. this is an extremely important a bar.
It leads us into Michael having a full-on affair with someone. Like, it's important.
Well, you might notice Allison's sound quality change. That might have something to do with the difficulties. The AirPods went dead, so that's why Allison sounds different, by the way.
I didn't get to use podcast funds to get a mic. I use my Gen 1 AirPods like a fool. So I apologize for if I sound crappier, but I feel as though Sid and Dexter's...
Oh my...
That was awesome.
Oh my God.
That was so awesome.
Sorry, based on on the desk, it is his dinner time. He is livid that he is not being fed. Betsy is brewing, so we are stuck with the mama he's not into. So it's really dramatic over here. So Sid and Dexter's feels really important to mention. A, Pam gets to leave the house, which y'all talked about in your dad pod episode. You maybe talked a little bit about how thrilling it is for a parent to get to leave the house for the first time after having a kid or two.
Yep.
That part feels really fun. And another moment that feels specifically realistic to if you are working in an office and you know the person who gets to come back, or you are the person who gets to come back, her reaction is so authentic, with pure unadulterated joy of screaming into the phone that she cannot wait to go to a place with shitty basketballs. Like, she's thrilled, right?
Yep.
That part feels really fun and authentic.
Yeah.
Have you had work groups come in like this before?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we host a lot of work happy hours, oftentimes for nonprofits that we work with, which is really, really fun. It's going to be one of our first events is going to be with the Colorado Women's Bar Association. So, right, Lady Justice, our two founders are lawyers. That part feels really fun and true. But watching work groups come and let loose is always a trip. You've got folks mingling. You can see who wants to talk to the other people. You can maybe make guesstimates on who's fighting at work based on where they're sitting.
Ooh, that would be fascinating.
Yes, it is very fun. If you've seen those TikToks of like, it's like baristas pretending to clean the bar with like a loaf of bread. People having a conversation. Like, I love listening to other people's chisme, their gossip. Like, lay it on me, please, by all means. I want to
hear it. Yeah, what else are you going to do? But, you know, try and put together the pieces.
Yeah. Or you can stare at you. That's my job. Yeah.
Now we're cooking.
Yeah. Big Robert California. I'm kidding. I don't have Robert California energy at my bar. And if I do, I'm
no one wants to go to that bar.
But yeah, Sid and Dexter's, I mean, of course, there's a lot of relationship stuff that's happening here. Jim and Pam are trying to set Michael up with a friend at first. These are all things that, of course, could never happen at the office or anywhere near, you know, on the Scranton Business Park campus. I think the other bar that we also have to mention is the Liberty Well, which. I did not know this was the name of the bar until we were prepping for this. Trivia, season 8. This is the gay bar in Philly that hosts the trivia that they go to win a prize and save the branch.
Makes the most sense financially.
Great plot.
Yeah, that plus all the paper that Andy's been buying and keeping in his house.
That's the bar. That is a bar trip by a group where like everyone is like Oscar's like, oh, you guys are coming to my thing. Like, this is my place. Mm-hmm. This is my domain. And like, now all my work friends are going to show it up. And he's like, fine, I'm still going to be on my own team. Like, this is a protective sort of vibe that Oscar's giving off of like, I just because you're here doesn't mean I'm with you guys.
Right.
But you can come.
It's a public bar. Also, he becomes if I may,
yes,
the worst version of his
gay.
I don't know what you heard, but he becomes the worst version of his actually self.
Definitely.
When he
yes
everything right.
Yeah, he goes
and he is
off. He goes super Saiyan.
And you know why? I mean, you know why is like suddenly where he works has come to where he plays, and everyone now sees just exactly who Oscar is, not at the bar where he's probably a star. And yeah, I think he's definitely like, I'm keeping you at an arm's length. Like, I want to show everyone how not like all these people I am, because these are my friends. This is my trivia night. This is my holy place. Like, if you've seen Nathan Fielder's The Rehearsal, there are people like this who take trivia very seriously, and the community that it breeds is very important.
That's
people.
The very first episode of The Rehearsal. If you haven't seen and it, it is yes worth watching.
And we it get is vibes from Oscar on that for sure.
Yeah, it's.
But this is everyone, like,
if you guys are hearing these things and they're recommending it, do it. Treat yourself.
Do.
Correct answer.
But I feel like this is a type of thing where you invite friends, whoever, out, and you're just like, guys, be cool. This is my play. Like, don't embarrass me.
You know what's embarrassing to me is that for listeners who have heard Kate and I's episode, and Betsy mentions this, this is Kate and I when we go to office trivia. Mm. And Kate's husband and my wife are very much the aside people. They could be the B team, and they roll up. They might get one or two answers, mm-hmm, and they feel really good about themselves while Kate and I, shut up, we're thinking. And then we like plug our ears and look at each other, and we're like, we know that we description of trivia. That's who we are. That is also how Betsy and I first hung out outside of work, and that's when we like maybe started to feel a vibe, was at a trivia night. So trivia,
looking for a mate at the bar,
mm-hmm, seeking a mate at the bar. My team, the Mass Debaters, we thought that
classic
was sick.
Oh wow.
But we would invite Betsy out. She was technically our supervisor at the time. And we'd be like, do you want to come and hang? And her and Kate would come to trivia with us, which was very sweet. But we also really loved trivia very specifically. That was just like a very specific thing to our little friend crew in 2010. So
another beauty of ordinary things represented on the office.
That's what it's all about.
How about that?
Well, yeah. I think perhaps that's a good place to kind of wrap it up, unless, you know, what are there any other points that we didn't touch on? I know that there's probably some bar moments we didn't get to. And if you do think of any, email us at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com.
Look, the point's not to just give you all the plots that happened at the yes bar. It's to talk about what it means for the show.
Yeah.
And the point is that you email them, not me.
Yeah.
It's true. Last, I will say, Sean, something we should mention, a bar-related thing, is when it is used as a social exclusion. This is all Michael wants to do is go to the bar with someone. And when it finally happens, he's overjoyed because he gets things like an email surveillance when his improv classmates all go to the bar without him. That it just happens to be someone's birthday of... Yeah. We all know except you.
Bernie's Tavern.
Yeah. Bernie's Tavern.
Yeah, I know. It is definitely used to exclude, just like Devin in Halloween. But
yeah, it's a symbol of like, we want to go be free in this place without mm-hmm you.
We want to spend time with each other yes without mm-hmm you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the part that is probably Michael's nightmare.
And yes, look, I mean, I've been on countless movies where it's like you kind of establish, like, you know, there's that first time, there's that breaking the seal of like, do you think we should get a drink tonight? And and then it's like you guys go for a drink, you find your place, you bitch about everybody, and then it's just like, and then there's those bad days where you're like, we got to go to the Wichita tonight, like like I'll get our booth. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
And I'll know that it's like, you just don't want your bosses, because if you do, you're going to talk about work the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, and it's almost like nothing personal. Yeah. It's like, I just really don't want to bring work to this place at all.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I'm going here. Yeah. This is why the bar exists.
Or you're going to talk about work, but it's all negative. It's all.
Yes. Like, I need to talk about you after today, mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. I think everybody has that like post work bar in their world. In my heart, when I think about post-work bar, the Saturn bar in New Orleans, when I was serving in AmeriCorps, was my post-work bar. I knew that I had chosen my favorite booth when I sat down and fell through the seating completely onto a spring. And I was like, where am I? What is this place? I always want to come back to the bar where my butt fell on the spring. an incredibly John Goodman there once. Right? So I think that those moments are the things that feel really special. And I think that's why, in general, I would assume without looking that the episodes at the bars are probably higher rated for The Office, because it's taking you off site and moving plot points forward usually leaps and bounds.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, we're moving things in a way that could not happen had it been happening in the office space. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good note to end on.
Definitely. Shout out to the Wichita. Shout out to the Crunkleton out in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's for
shout out to my post-work bar, which is whatever. Shout out to my post-work bar, which is whatever's in the drink drawer in my fridge.
That's your on-site bar. That's your F Train to Brooklyn extra bitters.
Yeah,
that's your
that's always there.
Yeah, shout out to
Allison.
Anyone's post-work bar. Yeah, I mean, I had the Saturn bar in New Orleans. I have Marmalade in Old Town Arvada. Shout out my current post-work bar. Shout out. It's underneath. It's called Marmalade because it's underneath a hair salon called Clementine.
Nice.
It's cute, right?
I get it.
Okay.
I love that place. Shout out to any place that John Hamm, the day you get to this episode will be the best day for me. Shout out to Denver, John Hamm in Denver. His name is the one and only John Hamm. That's the funny joke because his name is John Hamm, and maybe you've heard of another John Hamm. any bar that he's playing at, the bar I want to be at, shout out to
Juan
my guy.
Hamon.
He'll die knowing that you just said his name, even saying Hamon. Yeah, shout out to those post-work bars, right? They feel special. Yeah. You get to go with the one to two colleagues that you don't hate.
Yep.
Shout out.
Well, there you have it. Allison, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. Tell the people where they can find out more about you and about Lady Justice.
By all means. You can find us at www.ladyjusticebrewing.com, but I would much prefer you follow us on social media where you will find literally me. If you send a DM, you are sending it to Allison Kimberly Wisneski. that's me. We are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, we are on TikTok, and we are on Threads. We do not use Elon Musk's internet, so you will not find us on Twitter/X, but please reach out to us at any of those other places. And again, please come in and visit. Mention that you love and follow the podcast and see what happens. See what happens to your tab. Okay. See what happens to a beer in your hand.
Special treat, ice cream sandwich.
We very much love you.
If you could keep a box of ice cream sandwiches in the freezer.
Yeah, and you have to throw it at them.
But like, if they get it, if it's like big surprise at the end of your meal, big surprise at the end of your tab, and it's always an ice cream sandwich, that would be the greatest wink wink.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
man.
Might have just made something happen. I mean, I've never been more certain. Someone on my Slack channel for work is going to be like, Allison, what's with these ice cream sandwiches? That's like Allison Michael Scott. Like, please help me. Just shout it out. We are open after March 20th, 2024. Please come see us. We would love to see y'all. And if we get these guys to come out, we will let you know. You'll hear it here first.
Actively going to start planning that. Super excited. If you want to contact us at the podcast, maybe call us and leave us a message so that we can play it on a upcoming voicemail episode, 503-694-9314. You can email us at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Check out our store, mspcstore.com. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. It gets you bonus mailbag episodes every month where we answer every question we get on Patreon, as well as ad-free main feed episodes. portion of those funds do go to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So very special thanks to our Scott's Tots for supporting us. We love you guys so much. Special thanks to Kayla and Brianna, who run our Discord. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs our artwork. This episode was recorded on location in Portland, Oregon, and Denver, Colorado, USA.
Hey!
We love you all so much, so much out there, for letting you do what we get to do, for hanging out with us all these years, 5 years and running, 5 years and one penny is where we're at right now. So let us keep those pennies coming in, and thank you so much for messing with us. Love you so much. Take care. Stay safe. See you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me this up.
Yes, sir.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.